How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Knox Manning in Hollywood, taking you on another brief journey behind the scenes. Once again, we draw aside the curtain on a fragment of forgotten drama, a story of people and places already hidden in the background of destiny. Today, a story of an industrial prince and a pauper. But first, a word from a familiar voice. And there's a man with a message to remember. Now, if you will, step with me behind the scenes for the 1870s. The scene is a crowded New York ferry boat. Even in a large crowd, certain men will stand out, will immediately command the eye, even in a throng. And this is true on this particular day. There's one man whom none of the crowd jostles, who's allowed to stand somewhat alone, except for a group of almost fawning acquaintances. He's a tall, commanding man with a piercing eye and a bearing which shows he's accustomed to obedience. He's quietly but very expensively dressed, and you know without even whiffing its smoke that the cigar in his hand is of the finest Havana. The small group about him hangs intently on his every word, and at the end of almost every sentence, heads nod in violent agreement. Yes, it's easy to see that he's a mighty important man, this one. There's another man who also stands out from the crowd, but for vastly different reasons. He's old, with a thick mat of uncombed white hair and a dirty beard. His clothes are shabby and unpressed, and the laces of his shoes are flopping. His eyes are watery, and he mumbles to himself. Plainly, he's a little touched, this funny-looking, dirty old fellow. Or at least that seems to be the crowd's general impression. Some of the younger, more sportily dressed passengers exchange winks and gravitate toward the old man. After all, it's pretty monotonous, this daily ride on the ferry boat. Might as well have a little fun. With a grin on his face, one of them swaggers up to the old man and asks a question. The old fellow looks at him vacantly, then turns his eyes once more out over the waters of the river and continues his mumbling. Curious, several crowd around, straining their ears to catch his words. Apparently those words don't make much sense, not to them at least, and they laugh. Several others join in the sport and begin asking the old man questions about his beard and hair and bathing habits. It's plain to see that he's becoming angry. Ha! There'll be some fun after all. Presently the group around the old fellow begins vying with each other and throwing jokes and smart cracks at him. Dimly the man begins to realize that they're making sport of him. His old eyes grow desperate, almost pleading. One of those surrounding the very rich man nudges him in the ribs and with a smile nods toward the extemporaneous show taking place. The man glances casually, then his look becomes long and searching. Slowly he takes the cigar from his mouth and flips it over the side. He walks toward the old man, now completely surrounded by hecklers. These men fall silent and step back to make way. Several nudge each other and grin expectantly. All await his coming remark as he stands before the addled old fellow looking deep into his eyes. Now, before the conclusion of our story, a word from your announcer. When the richly dressed man finally speaks to the one in rags, the mouths of the onlookers fall open in astonishment because he quietly says, "You probably don't know me, sir. My name is Vanderbilt. Please allow me the privilege, Mr. Whitman, of tying your shoe." And the nation's most famous financier kneels on the deck and gently ties the shoelaces of Walt Whitman, whom America, too late, has recognized as one of its very greatest poets. It's a story that brings a slight feeling of shame as we return it once more to Behind the Scenes. And now, this is Knox Manning inviting you to join me again tomorrow at this time for another journey into that dim half-light where chance and destiny lift men out from behind the scenes. This is a Hamilton Whitney radio production, transcribed in Hollywood.